It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Mike, baby, be flopping!
Film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD 2 Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. And, of course, we have a blog. The show actually is also available on iTunes. It's also available as a podcast on WFYI.org. We also have a blog, and that is at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Back behind the desk, Kobe Slagle.
Yes.
And we have, because the last couple of weeks we were, guest light by my choice, and, doing a highlight reel and best of. I'm doing my best of this week because, well, I'll explain that a little bit. But we have three guests in studio. It's like Indiana Week in Review. Only less. No, anyway.
More colorful.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. but we have three guests who have their own intros. So we're gonna start things off with the Film Yaps, Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
And we have HauntedFlower.com's Gina Wagner.
Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr.
That's my new intro.
Well, that's you have a second one, so that's Emma's way of saying
thank you, Emma.
Yes. Very Big Bang Theory, by the way.
Yes, and the guru behind IndiePolitics.org, Abdul Hakim Shabazz.
The blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Will someone shut that man up?
Never! Never!
That's right. Where else do you hear Chasing Amy combined with 1776? Abdul Hakim Shabazz.
Well, I guess they closed the old State Central Hospital down, so you'll be hearing quite a bit of it.
Wow. All right. So we'll get to the best.
Well, first of all,
yes,
thank
sir.
You. It is so nice to be back.
Well, good to have you back here.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has. Well, we appreciate you waiting until 6 before going to Nikki Blaine's.
Well, actually, the wife and I are going to Buca di Beppo's for dinner. Then we're going to Nikki Blaine's.
Oh, make sure you get the Sophia Loren room.
Yeah, I had to play lawyer tomorrow in Illinois, so that's how I'm affording dinner tonight.
Ah, okay. You're embracing your roots.
Yes, and in St. Clair County.
That's right. And you watched Roots for the Film Yap recently.
Yes, the classic film called Reeling Backward. I went and did the TV thing, which I have made a few TV exceptions for the Film Yap.
Well, that's not just a that's an experience. That's,
yes.
That's a marathon, too.
Yes.
Okay, you played Roots backwards?
No, that's a bad thing. This isn't Memento.
No. I was just a little confused.
Right. It might have worked because I watched the series and it started really good and got as it went along.
Yeah, for them too.
Okay, I guess let's get back on track. Maybe I asked for it, so we'll get to old stuff and best and worst in a little bit. But there is actually one film that did open. Well, there's two. There's one, The Devil Inside, which is not about INXS, but it was not screened for the press. But
not
it's
Richard Pryor either.
No, not by Richard Pryor. Devil's Cold. but it's apparently, from what I've read, it's the found footage horror film. Only this time it involves the devil possessing.
Am I the only one tired of exorcism?
No. I am okay. Also tired of exorcism.
You've never seen an exorcist film. What are you griping about?
I saw the
trailers are enough.
I saw The Right.
No.
That should have been called The Wrong. Sat through that. It's like, oh my God, Anthony Hopkins, really?
Well, he's got a check.
Well, yeah, I could tell. This is like that stupid movie you did when you're on that mountain thing with that idiot Baldwin brother.
The Edge.
Yeah.
Which is not about you two. Wow. Where was I? Oh, yeah. No, you haven't seen an Exorcist movie yet. That didn't count. And remember, you still got a film coming.
Yeah, I know.
So,
which is not The Exorcist.
Yeah, I guess I'll keep it Hitchcockian. So there. Yeah. But anyway, that opened today. Onion gave it an F. So they're on a hot streak lately as far as dishing out Fs for films. But opening in theaters finally, and it feels like it's been a month since we watched it because we probably did. We got screeners for it. But Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, based on the John le Carré novel, and of course it was made into a historic BBC miniseries in the 70s with Sir Alec Guinness. This time around, Gary Oldman, yes, Commissioner Gordon, plays a semi-retired spy who is brought back in because there is a Russian mole amongst the British agency. And is it Toby Jones? Is it Colin Firth? Is it Mark Strong? Is it John Hurt? Is it all the other actors who did or didn't make it into the Harry Potter series?
But it actually looks pretty interesting.
Yes.
From a preview perspective.
And we have the audio preview of that. Here it is.
There is a mole right at the top of British intelligence. He's been there for years.
For 25 years, we've been the only thing standing between Moscow and the Third World War.
I'm retired. You're outside the family. You're well placed to look into this for us now.
I'll do my utmost.
I know that it is one of these men. All I want from you is one code name. Tinker. Tailor. Soldier. Spy.
I need you to do something.
I'm going to have to send you up into the lion's den. If you're caught.
What the hell are you doing up here?
You can't mention me.
I know who you are. I have something to trade. Something big.
She told me a secret.
The mother of all secrets.
She had information concerning a double agent.
You have to assume they're watching you.
Things aren't always what they seem.
It's become so ugly.
We're not so very different, you and I. We're both looking for the weaknesses in one another.
Gina, did you wear your grown-up sweater for this film?
I should have. I probably would have paid more attention.
I have to remind myself when talking with Gina that I make myself much older than I really need to be. But the itchy
I'm wearing
sweater.
An itchy sweater today, just for you.
And we just for me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank
Maybe
you.
Maybe just because I wanted to.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's yeah. more realistic. This is because it's you know, when we were talking off air about pronunciations in the Midwest. I think you could say it two different ways and hopefully offend less people. Jean le Carré or le Carré. Let's call the whole thing off.
I've heard. I was listening to WFYI yesterday, or maybe, and they said the name that way. So I'm not sure.
We'll take that. If it's said that way on these airwaves,
the
not by me.
WFYI approved yes. version.
More like NPR approved. 170 million approved. 170 million. What? I don't know. But anyway, what I like about his novels turned into films is, and some of you, you know, the multiplex crowd, take note. This is not a Bond film. These are the anti-Bond films.
Yeah.
You know, if one gunshot happens in this story, that's a huge deal, and it's more. The weapons are words more than actions in this one. I saw the miniseries a long time ago. I would love to revisit it. I think Alec Guinness, what I remember about it, Alec Guinness is great in it. And Gary Oldman is really, really good in this as well. And I've enjoyed...
Like I said, the trailers looked interesting.
Yeah.
From somebody like, as you can see the movie, having any sort of advanced knowledge or warning.
And, you know, Cold War chic, I guess, is
yeah.
where we get to go back and sort of know who the bad guys are.
It's like, hey, is this Gorky Park?
Oh, I was 13 when I saw that in theaters. I'm older now and probably would understand it better. But anyway, it's a fun puzzle to watch. It's quiet. It's patient. Take your time with it. And I've really, really enjoyed in the last couple of years that as much as we all love Gary Oldman chewing scenery, it's nice for him to, one, play somebody who's not psychotic, but giving him something to work with. It was cool to see him play. Now, is he commissioner yet in the third Dark Knight series?
Not yet.
Okay, so he's
getting pretty close.
Okay, so anyway. Gordon. This is fun seeing him and Gordon. And, you know, say what you will about Bob Zemeckis, but it was fun. I thought he was a really good choice, at least for the voice of Bob Cratchit in the weird Jim Carrey 3D Christmas Carol.
And I guess it does beat seeing Gary Oldman as Dr. Smith.
Yeah, kind of does. You don't want Jonathan Harris looking at you nasty-like. So, but it's a very low-key performance from Oldman, but I think it's a really good performance from Oldman. He hopefully will get an Oscar nomination for this, and well-deserved. But when your backup crew cinematically are John Hurt, Kieran Hines, Toby Jones, Colin Firth, Academy Award winner, Colin Firth, Mark Strong, for you British villain fans out there, all putting in really strong performances behind him. It's a lot of fun. And
so are we now in Academy Award nominee season now?
Oh, full-blown, big time.
Yeah, so all the movies look a lot more grown up.
Yeah, and less Jack and Jill-like. But then there's The Devil Inside, so you know, they got to put something out
something
there.
For everybody.
Or something for nobody. But you know,
of course, there was that one scene in The Girl and the Dragon Tattoo. I have to talk to you about that.
On or off air?
Off air.
Okay. Then we know which scene we're talking about.
It's the tattoo scene.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But no, it's we talk about the cinematic wasteland months. They're usually January, February, and August, September. Now, with January, February, at least in Indianapolis, we still have grown-up movies. We have the Oscar-contending movies. And then when the nominations come out, some of the films that didn't come to Indianapolis will eventually trickle down here. And if there's a win, that will trickle down here some more. But then there's also movies that the studios just have to put out just for the sake of putting something out there. I saw a trailer for The Vow, the film that wants to be a Nicholas Sparks novel but isn't. Is Channing Tatum on your list there, Mr. Slagle?
I know, but
he should be.
May need to reevaluate the list here in 2012.
Okay.
I just assumed it was Nicholas Sparks since you have Dear John and The Notebook kind of smashed together with the
right,
lead.
That's how they're promoting it. You know,
I want a gag.
Did you get that, Kobe?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So anyway, back to Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Go see it in theaters. Go see it full price. It's worth seeing full price. Hopefully there will be less knuckleheads texting and bringing their babies to this film because they shouldn't be there in general. So here's our reaction.
Wow, that'd be some good filming there, Mr. Soci. Wow. I got to cut you a new voice for 2012. It is a presidential year, you know.
I know. Chris, now Chris and Gina, you two also saw Tinker Tailor. What were your thoughts?
I thought that the movie too closely resembled its protagonist. You know, the Gary Oldman character, and he does do a very subtle, nice performance in this, but the character is just almost totally affectless. I mean, he shows nothing. He's a total poker player. But as a result, you never really sort of engage with him. I mean, like at the beginning of the story, he was the number two at the spy agency, and he has just lost his job in this huge scandal.
So he's Kyle Orton.
Yeah, his total career has just come crashing down around him.
Or Bill Polian.
Yeah. Okay, except this guy didn't deserve it. But anyway, I mean, the character never really seems very bothered by this. And at some point you're like, well, if it really doesn't bother him, why should it bother me as I'm watching it?
Maybe we're rooting for the individual versus an organization?
It could
or
be.
Or the man?
It could be. The plot is very Byzantine. You know, I like to think I'm usually pretty good at following these things, but, I mean, even by the end, they're saying names of characters and things like this, and I'm going, who is that? Was that the bald guy? I mean, I just could not keep it all straight. I mean, you do have to understand, they took this novel, I think, wasn't it like a seven-parter?
I think it's a nine-hour miniseries.
On BBC, and so they're taking it down to a two-hour movie. Obviously, they've had to really condense things here. I still think it's a worthwhile film, but I'm not as enthusiastic about it as you are.
Okay. Gina?
And I kind of reviewed it a little bit last time I was here because I didn't realize it wasn't out here yet.
That's all right.
But the sum up version is, for the very reasons that Chris stated, I also wasn't able to engage with it, so I found it kind of dull, and I didn't know what all the code names were for after a while, and I was starting to get kind of peeved with the movie and wanted to accuse them of just making stuff up. And
you do that quite often.
Yeah. And two words, Benedict Cumberbatch. awesome name.
Is that the soap opera name game that you make up?
I swear, it's like a novel name, but that's like the guy's name.
Yes, it is.
I'll rather have the Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Isn't he doing the voice of Smaug in the Hobbit movie? He's the villain in some big movie coming out later this year.
I'm going to listen to Benedict Cumberbatch.
Sounds like a Harry
He's
Potter
He's very
character.
British. I can't wait.
Yes. Wow.
Oh, by the way, we've been tweeted to more than 7,000 people that we're on Film Sociology right now.
Oh, that's good. So chime in. We don't take requests.
is it a trending topic?
Yes, it is. Trust FYI me. And our good friend Kathy Keitlinger at the
Hey, Kathy, how you doing? So yes, no, we don't need requests. This set list is full, I assure you, between the four of us. So so I guess we'll chime in, do a little bit of catching up a little bit. We're all right on time. I finally got to see War Horse because I missed the screening for it. And it's part Black Beauty, part Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
What, a bunch of dead horses?
That's a Rolling Stones song, isn't
Landing
it?
On the beach?
No, who wants... Well, there's, it's a boy and his horse, and then the horse gets sold / drafted, and then
it's... Well,
they
got the black part right.
I couldn't see. Is that Ken Norton? No.
It's like Roots, for the horses.
What's James Mason doing with a southern accent? Yes, thank you, Mandingo fans out there. Yes, that's it's Steven Spielberg's Mandingo. You figured it out, Abdul. Way to go.
E.T. is spelled out E.Z.
He said it. There we go. And I was with the film until I could see where some CG happened, and it's when the horse is running down the bunker that and it makes a couple of leaps and avoids some bullets, and
yeah,
it becomes Indiana Horse and the Temple of Doom. But I don't know. Is it emotionally manipulative? Yes, it's directed by Steven Spielberg, and you got David Thewlis and Emily Watson, who are pretty good, and Eddie Marsan, who has the bad thing of almost shooting the horse, and no, they don't shoot horses, don't they, in this film. Oh, I have done the Equus reference? Okay, now I have. So if you're in the horsies and then into war movies, there you go. We're checking out. So, Mr. Shabazz, what have you seen recently?
Like I said, the big thing was Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, where my wife and I went and saw it on an afternoon. And
oh, lovely! Did you have a fun romantic dinner after that?
Well, there are a couple scenes where it's like, huh, I'm sitting next to my wife and watching this. Okay.
The scene that Abdul is not trying to talk about is for me an example of the fact that I guess one of the reasons what confused me about the film, besides the fact that they made it because for people who didn't want to read subtitles, was that I think David Fincher was trying to prove that you could do an American remake of a foreign film and not pull any punches. And those two scenes that we're not talking about are prime examples of that.
Yeah. Like I said, the tattooing and then the hammering.
Aftermath.
Yeah.
The Fred Williamsoning of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what like, whoa, yikes. But the one thing I did think is after about 2 hours, okay, good, interesting. But the last 35 minutes, I'm like, you could have wrapped this up in seven.
Not the film seven.
Not the film seven, no.
It doesn't quite turn into Hostel, no. At least. Like, yeah. Not.
And that in Sherlock Holmes.
And how is our Holmes and Watson?
Actually,
your world?
It was, you know what? It was actually really good.
Yeah?
I liked it too.
It's fun.
but it's Sherlock Holmes too. I mean, you know exactly what you're getting.
It's not Basil Rathbone,
right? Exactly. So as long as you and see, I think sometimes we get sort of too worked up over films. Like, you know what? How about we just accept this for the popcorn movie that it is?
Getting worked up over a film on a film show? I don't know what you're talking about.
People, it's just a freaking tote bag, for God's sakes. Everybody, calm down. It's just a tote bag. Jesus. No, but you see what I mean. And so as long as you don't expect, a whole lot.
No, it's an action film. It's Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
It's Sherlock Holmes with a six-pack. And a six-pack. And Jude Law. So
it's Iron Man.
Yes, and with more clothes.
Yeah.
Heavy wool suits. So, Gina, catching up on stuff?
I saw We Bought a Zoo.
And?
I loved it.
Really?
Yes.
The first PG film from Cameron Crowe.
Yeah.
Are we squishy about the zoo or the
zoo? Yeah, we're squishy about the animals.
Wait a minute. Are we squishy?
I have to explain. I'll explain that in a little bit. I want to. Okay. You enjoy. And this is the one Matt Damon does the title.
Matt Damon, yes.
Yeah, and all zoo employees should look like Scarlett Johansson, but don't.
Yeah, should we all be so lucky, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, just like all archaeologists should look like Natalie Portman.
In Fake Town, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So watching the movie, I decided I now have an awesome way to grieve. Should I ever need to grieve, I just need to go buy a zoo. And then I'll be fine.
There's one in town. I don't know how much it's worth.
Go get it.
rent to own. Yeah. Rent to own a zoo. So I'm guessing the kids' film correspondent will like it for all the animal footage.
Oh yeah, definitely. I would think so. But you know, the people footage is good too. All that acting and whatnot.
That's another one. We got that right.
Usually that goes into a movie.
Not always. Not always.
Not always.
But
I sincerely liked it, and there was a scene where I was going to cry, and it was a people scene, not an animal scene.
Did Cameron Crowe pepper this film with wall-to-wall classic rock like his other films?
No, but it was all emotionally, you know?
Good. Excellent.
Lots of music and flashback scenes.
Okay. So Mark Wahlberg's in this one, right?
No, that's Matt Damon.
Okay, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
I'm thinking, okay, Mark Wahlberg and animals. I saw this movie.
And we'll get to apes. We will get to ape movies in a little bit.
Yes, we will.
Chris, are you catching up on stuff? Did you catch up on anything?
I did not go to see Sherlock Holmes because all the critics went to Sherlock Holmes the same night, and instead I went to the screening of Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, and I'm quite certain that I came out on the good end of that equation.
No matter what anybody else says.
Have you guys seen Ghost Protocol?
I have not.
Really I paid good. To see it. Loved it.
See it in IMAX. They actually shot it in IMAX. It's spectacular. I would say it's the best action thriller of 2011. I think it's going to be Tom Cruise's big comeback movie.
Cool.
And Brad Bird, you know, the whole thing. Director Brad Bird, animation guy.
I think he's a smart choice, you know, who gave us The Iron Giant and The Incredibles. And this is his first live action, I believe.
Yeah, and the action scenes are really crisp and well done. And I think I figured it out. You know, people said an animation guy, you know, he's a Pixar animation guy, The Incredibles, Ratatouille. How can he direct live action? Well, you know, with animation, they storyboard everything and plan it out months in advance, everything shot by shot. So they know exactly what it's going to look like. And I think that helped him here in that he knew exactly how he wanted his action scenes to play out, what he wanted people to see, when he wanted to see him, the beat, the rhythm.
So it's kind of advanced storyboarding.
It really is. And I think it helped. And my gosh, so many movies by, you know, well-known directors, the action scenes are just terrible. You just can't understand what's going on. Brad Bird, I think he's going to have a real second career in live action.
There we go. All right, let's take a short break. Kobe, I'm sorry, you're over there. Did you see anything recent besides Sherlock Holmes?
Let's see, saw Sherlock.
You enjoyed that as well?
Yes, like Sherlock.
Yeah.
Artist.
Oh, good.
Good for you.
Love The Artist.
Excellent. We'll be talking about The Artist soon.
Formerly known as...
No, not that. No, you don't need to put slave on your cheek.
So... What, am I Larry now?
Later, much later. I don't know if he's going to be a guest on the show. All right, so I'm glad you saw The Artist.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, let's take a short break. We'll talk about what's on DVD and Blu-ray, and if there's time, the best of 2011 and the preview for 2012 and Darth Vader stand-in died, and we got lots to do.
Ooh, Newt Gingrich.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Wow. Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store.
Well, there are no video stores open, but there's boxes.
But you know what? There's a certain amount of almost sort of pseudo-intellectual snobbery in the video store clerk.
Moi? As somebody who once worked at the video store, I don't know what you're talking about.
You think you know better than what everybody else. Like, you know, you really don't know what you want. I know what you want.
Well, as a host of Film Sociology, I'm Matthew Sosi. Welcome back. I'm here with Gina Wagner of Abdul Hakim Shabazz, Chris Lloyd, Kobe Slagle. And I worked in Carroll Stream, Illinois, I worked at a video store. And I remember I was working there when Waterworld came out on VHS, and my boss was wondering why there were so many rentals of The Road Warrior, because I was telling people to watch that instead. So there.
But there's a difference between the video store clerk who's there to help people. It's like, you know, I'm looking for a movie with this is what they did. Oh, yeah, you want XYZ, right. It's over there.
And then there's Jack Black in High Fidelity.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're not watching that.
Like, no, you're not watching that. Why not? This isn't your kind of film. It's got subtitles, and you'd have to read, and that's probably
the problem is my video store never carried any of those films. So.
Nosferatu, really?
No. In fact, I think 75% of the sales came from the
back room
with the door.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, nothing like knocking on a fake wall and going, hey, I got to close in 5 minutes. Pick something and get out.
Hey, don't forget to rewind.
That's, don't mean the tape either. All right. So what we're renting Netflix for, what, $9 now? And what's the blue boxes or the red boxes?
Red box and Netflix.
At your grocery stores. I guess Family Videos are still around.
Netflix is really annoying.
Yeah. But the big title... One that I liked, and I think it was a little polarizing. Of course, I think Steven Soderbergh is a polarizing filmmaker, is Contagion. And this is his all-star extravaganza over plague. And Matt Damon's in it, Marion Cotillard, Gwyneth Paltrow dies, so people who don't like her can watch that.
Is there a monkey in this one and Dustin Hoffman?
No, there's no monkey. And there's, no.
There's a bat.
Not that bat. But, yeah, it's not like Outbreak, in which... In this film, you're trying to find the cure to solve the problem. It's how do people deal with said plague and issues? And you know, Lawrence Fishburne is in it, and you know, pretty interesting cast. And it's multi. I mean, people are comparing it to Traffic, which is the other Soderbergh film that had multiple storylines. And it's one of those. It's where the performances stand out over the film itself. And this seemed more interesting than let's find the monkey and get the antidote. So, guys, your thoughts? Abdul's laughing. So,
long story.
Yes. Well, you won't be doing any more movies at Warner Brothers, that's for sure. And other Richard Pryor quotes. So,
my favorite was Kate Winslet playing the woman from the Center of Disease Control.
Yes.
Because that's a hard job.
Controlling disease, yes.
Well, just talking to people and making them realize the extent of the problem was very difficult. No one wanted to really own up to it, and they kept looking at her like she was ridiculous until the bodies start piling up.
Right. There's a little bit of the day after tomorrow disaster flick in this.
But wolves in this one.
Yeah. But, you know, it was like a very almost like journalistic kind of docudrama feel look at it. You know, lots and lots of characters. You know, most movies like this, they concentrate on 2, 3, 4 characters.
Right.
And this, you know, there's probably a couple dozen characters. You know, so it's like I say, more that sort of an objective look at how it would actually play out.
Right. And some people fared better than others. You know, Jude Law is this kind of radio muckraker, and Lawrence Fishburne who's trying to help out a friend, and ain't that just like a friend?
Can I just say Jude Law not aging very well?
You don't think so?
No.
Did you see his teeth in this movie?
Yeah.
I think they gave him funky teeth.
They gave him funky teeth, but somehow it seemed to just accentuate what nature was already doing.
Well, if he
it made him look a lot more British.
Don't mess with the nanny, and you won't get the funky teeth.
He's got a really bad pattern of of hair loss going on. He's getting that thing where he's getting like the isthmus of hair, you know. He's just gonna have like the, eventually it's just gonna be an island.
So he's gonna shave his head. He's gonna shave his head and turn into Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Does that look like Panama?
Yes. So it, actually, and the film made a little bit of money, but I hopefully more people will check it out when it's at the video.
Contagion 2.
Electric Boogaloo. So, also opening is a thriller called Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. That was the one with Guy Pearce and Katie Holmes.
Didn't see it.
Nobody saw it.
Didn't
see
it. Hated
it. Yeah. If you do that, we have to give the Wayans brothers money. I don't want to do that. The documentary Pearl Jam 20, speaking of Cameron Crowe, from the director of I Bought a Zoo. We Bought a Zoo.
We Bought the Zoo. But I don't know why, because only one person had money.
That's okay. A film, we'll just keep moving on.
You know, that's the album, please.
Yes, that's Coke Etiquette. Also available this week, and this is a film that Ed Johnsonata, our colleague over at Nouveau Champion, big time, The Guard.
Oh, yeah.
With Brendan Gleeson and Don Cheadle as a mismatched pair. I know it sounds like an 80s film, but a mismatched pair of cops who are investigating a crime in Ireland.
Very sort of dark comedy.
Yeah, from the brother of the writer of In Bruges, the Donovan Clan with a C, write really well. This is a fun send-off on the buddy picture. Mildred Pierce, the HBO documentary with Kate Winslet, better looking in this one. She's less plaguey. Than in the Contagion.
Shh, you're giving it away.
Shh. Yeah. What, the plague? No, I didn't. And there's some older titles. Oh, I'm sorry. As far as new titles, and this is a film that made your worst 10 list, Gina.
Yeah!
Shark Night.
Love to hate kind of film.
Now, is this like Get Drunk and Watch Bad?
Yeah, because the sharks jump out of the water and attack dudes on like sea doos and stuff.
And freshwater.
Yeah.
Freshwater sharks.
Because it makes so much sense.
Oh, yeah, that's stupid. Oh, my wife wanted to go. That was almost like we're going to Marion County Court and filing divorce papers.
Judge Maybelline.
I honestly
you got
had
that, right?
Monday morning. Oh, my God. Okay, Piranha, I accept a certain amount of retardedness. And yes,
and
I
that was
said
in 3D.
That. And that was in 3D. But shark attack.
That's where you draw the line?
I was like, oh, no, you didn't.
I honestly had the most glorious double feature that day because I saw Shark Night and then went straight into Apollo 18 with the Moon Rock Spiders, which was worse than Shark Night.
Yeah.
You see, but that's your job. You have an excuse.
So I mean, you don't have to.
Right, exactly.
So delightfully bad.
I mean, I just sat there like, you have got to be kidding me.
No.
And apparently the sharks like dark meat because they ate the black guy on the...
Wait, but it's
they ate like half of him and just...
Is it kind of
standard?
Came
back for more.
They came back for more. It's like, hey,
so he's Chinese dark meat, is
well,
what you're saying.
Well, ate the Asian guy, but then they were hungry like 5 minutes later, so...
Now, is it standard? Abdul's working on the book on the screen length running of black people in horror films.
We figured out there's a conspiracy against black people in every horror film.
You know, just because one made it to the last reel in Night of the Living Dead, you can't have it for anywhere else.
Well, he got shot.
But I also found it a little bit interesting that character decided he was going to go after the shark with a spear.
Yes.
A spear.
did he chuck it?
Yep.
The one-armed man with a spear.
The great thing about you and I, Abdul, it's been a couple months since we've seen each other. Just hop right
back on.
Like Friday mornings again.
Yeah, I'm sitting there watching like, really? A one-armed black guy with a spear is going to go kill the shark. Really?
I think you better get back in your room, sir. This could be it.
I was like, oh, woman, next time we're seeing a film in Russian. You're going to pay for this one.
Yeah, now to be fair, the lovely Mrs. Shabazz, as we refer to her, her one... dare we say Shakespearean flaw is the choice in horror movies that she wants to go
see. Unfortunately, almost nobody's perfect. But my wife's one flaw is her taste in films. It is just really, really bad. Not bad as in
as
bad.
Twilight bad?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bianca.
Well, she's more like Beyonce, but
no, that's Kobe's better half. She's the Twilight correspondent of film sociology. Yeah, we're branching out in all sorts of ways. Okay, so Shark Night bad. We're on that. So some older titles that are out on Blu-ray because you need these on Blu-ray. Apparently, you need Serendipity on Blu-ray.
But do you?
No. No, you don't. Or as I called it, damn it, Kate, just give me your phone number.
Why fight over a pair of gloves?
Because if you did that, the film would be over in 10 minutes. That's another one, Abdul. We used to do 5-minute cinema or 5-minute plays or 5-minute literature, like, oh, hi, Godot.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Oscar, I got thrown out. Can I stay with you? No. And you had the best one, the horror film.
Oh, why don't somebody go there and check on the Voorhees kid?
Sure, I'll buy a painting, Adolf.
Yes.
All those things.
Problem solved.
So, yeah, Serendipity is out. She's All That is on Blu-ray.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I love it. I'm bringing up old titles just to make you guys make those faces.
You say old. It's like from the 90s, though, I think.
Didn't he have Usher?
I don't know. Somebody. The guy in a there's suit a... taking your tickets?
No, there's a dance number or something. Oh, I don't lovely. Know. Moving on.
Proof, the Gwyneth Paltrow, Anthony Hopkins drama
that's
based on the play.
I remember that.
And then Warner, also new on video, I don't know how she does it with your favorite horse face actress.
Oh, my God.
Sarah
Get
Jessica
over
Parker.
Yourself, Sarah Jessica Horseface.
And then Warner Brothers went all out, and they put out the three movies on those three movie collections on either one or I think it's one Blu-ray. So see if these entice you at all. On one collection, Alexander Revisited, Troy, and 300. No homoeroticism in those pictures.
No, not at all.
Guys in loincloths screaming. Although Chris Bangle did like 300. We'll move on.
Yeah.
The Searchers, The Wild Bunch, and the 60s version of How the West Was Won.
Ooh.
Only for my dad for his birthday.
That, actually, your dad would like that. So, Above the Law and Under Siege 1 and 2.
Ooh, boy.
And Tad Robinson, singer extraordinaire from here, was an extra in Under Siege. We'll talk about that later. Red Planet, Contact, and 2010.
Okay, I have a thing about Contact.
I like Contact.
And I've never thought I would ever
find... Gee, it's his dad. It's her dad.
I never thought I'd find myself quoting Mr. Garrison from South Park.
Careful.
But I did. 8 hours just to find out that alien was her blank, blank father.
Thank you. Thank you. Speaking of rants by Abdul, V for Vendetta, Constantine, and Watchmen.
Oh,
okay.
My.
I can do V for Vendetta. I'm sorry. I loved it.
Okay.
I liked it.
Because it was all over the place.
I know.
They made fun of Reagan and Thatcher.
But there's
and
also
Bush
the whole thing about John Hurt as the British Prime Minister on the big head screen.
And
it just seemed to work.
The future Occupy mask and
yes,
all that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I was on board with V for Vendetta.
Okay. But I also think when I think of Watchmen, I think you at the press screening of Watchmen. Chris was there too.
Have you guys ever seen, there's a clip, it's on YouTube, and it's Lee Elia, former manager of the Chicago Cubs.
Ranting.
I mean,
back when there was only 3,000 people at Wrigley.
3,000 people at Wrigley Field, and back when recorders used to have, like, you know, just audio tape recordings. And he just goes on this rant about how the Cubs lost and the fans just went ridiculous, and he's just cursing up a storm.
These people don't have a job.
Yeah, the rest of the blankety-blank world's out there working. These blankety-blank suckers are in a blankety-blank baseball game. I kid you not.
Now, I remember because it was a Monday morning, 10 a.m. screening downtown. And it was the members of the press, that would be us, and Abdul, and guys who apparently had frequent buyer things at the comic book store downtown. So
yeah.
There were about 60, 70 comic
oh,
book
yeah,
fans.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And remember, there was one girl. She was very valuable. No offense, Gina.
I wasn't there yet.
No, you weren't there
you
yet.
Weren't there
so.
Yet.
Before my time.
But it was a woman. She needed dork repellent.
Oh, gosh. Her. Yeah, because it was 10 o'clock in the morning, and so soon I walk in. I'm like, what in the world are these people doing at a movie theater at 11 o'clock in the morning? Don't you got a job?
Yeah. I've been to conventions. I can relate.
Like, okay, very good. So that's another one. All right, here's another collection. 7, Copycat, and the Angelina Jolie thriller Taking Lives.
Ugh. That one started out good and just
got bad.
Why does every collection only have like one good movie in it?
That's how they get you. Then we have
Copycat.
Oh, gee, hey Abdul, it's not even February, but here we go. Friday, Menace to Society.
Oh, wait a second.
I set it off.
I was going to guess the third one. Cotton Come to Harlem, right?
I own Cotton Comes to Harlem. Thank you very much. Directed by Ozzie Davis. I know that.
Always do the right thing, Matt Sosie.
Give me a Miller High Life. The champagne and beers.
We can mess with the High Life. The High Life going to mess with you.
All right. Then we have, Point of No Return, Domino, and Long Kiss Goodnight. That's the female assassin trilogy right there.
You know what? This would actually make a good movie thing.
What?
Like a movie quiz thing? Like, what do these three films have in common?
Yeah, female. Well, that's what Warner Brothers
Planet
is doing.
Planet of the Apes. They're just Return of the Planet of the Apes. The Hunt Quest of the Planet of the Apes.
Cotton Comes to Harlem.
Cotton Comes to Planet of the Apes.
Too bad 1430 Productions closed down. We could have made that.
Hey, you never know. 93.1 Productions is going to be right around the corner. I just see Chuck Morgan today at Jimmy John.
Oh, okay. And finally, and these are, by the way, the titles I'm giving you, these are remakes. Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy vs. Jason. All on one collection. There we go.
Why bother?
I don't know.
I guess the question is the original, or do they have like the special numbers? Because there actually were some Friday the 13th are actually better than other Friday the 13th.
No, no, no. These are the remakes. They were, okay. So, and then, yeah. So, wow. There you go. Wow. All those. Thanks, Warner Brothers.
That was more of Friday the 13th Part 5, which the girl with the telekinetic powers. That one was actually kind of cool.
It was different.
It was different.
And we give it
everything
that,
else so. Was go in the woods, have sex, die. Whatever.
Don't go to camp.
Yeah.
Don't go to town, Tonto. They're going to beat you up again.
Don't go to Crystal Lake.
Somebody check on the Voorhees kid. Yeah.
Don't you love how the show just comes full circle? I love this man's genius, ladies and gentlemen.
He was actually pointing at me for a change, not at himself. All right. It is the first week of January, and usually last week or the week before is when a lot of the critics put out their best and worst of the year. So I guess I will. And the other reason why I love having all three of you here in this combination is, you know, you have three different lists and I believe three different methods. So I guess I'll start with Chris. Has your top 10 changed since the end of the calendar year at all?
Not since the end of the calendar year, but I did actually write it and it was published in a couple of newspapers. And then I saw another movie and I added it at the last minute for the website.
Would that be Mission Impossible?
That would be Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Oh, okay.
And it ended up being added at the number 3 position.
Wow, that high.
Yeah,
wow.
And we saw that it was like the last week of December, so not quite at the end of the calendar year.
I don't know when we're going to get that one, but it's
directed the 20th.
The 20th, okay. It's directed by Stephen Daldry. This is the Tom Hanks, Sandra Bullock, kid looking for his dead dad's clues after 9/11 movie.
Yeah, and I understand The Onion just absolutely ripped
it
a new Fisher.
You should really read it. They did not like it at all. And David Edelstein, who you'll hear next on Fresh Air, felt really manipulated by the 9/11 aspect of the film. So there's that. I'm just reporting. It's not a Greek play. So what was your top film this year?
The Artist.
As was mine.
And I'm going to have to do my top 10 list from memory.
Ooh! Go ahead.
And I will probably mess it up.
That's all right.
A Better Life, little movie Chris Weisz directed. Immigrant Story, almost nobody saw it. I loved it. So Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close came in at number 3. I think 4 was The Descendants. I think Rango was 5. Boy, 6 or War Horse was in there.
Okay.
Anonymous was in there. Another one. I think that came in at number 10.
Okay.
And I'm forgetting the rest.
No, that's fine. That's fine. So
go to thefillmeup.com and you can see it.
There you go. Now, Gina, I heard your lovely rants on the good and the bad, and you made a point of saying these are your favorite films.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between, in your world, your favorite films and the best films?
The best films have, you know, the most artistic integrity and all that. They're going to be award nominations. My list of the best films these are the films I enjoyed seeing the most. I got the most enjoyment out of.
So what do you think was the best film? Because I know what your favorite film was. We'll get to that in a second. But what do you think was the best film of 2011?
So you're talking about from my list or
no,
the best film
the best, for... best film from an artistic...
From the IFJA perspective, my vote was for The Artist.
Okay. Your favorite film this year was?
Well, The Artist didn't even make my top 10 for that.
There you go.
My favorite was Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
There you go, right there. And that was, I think, for everybody, the biggest surprise of 2011.
Actually, that was on my list as well.
Okay.
Yay.
Because it's not Mark Wahlberg being chased by apes.
Oh, my God.
Thank God for that. But it's more of a science runs amok story. And I also compared it to Awakenings because here's a scientist who grew his arm back, trying to come up with a cure for Alzheimer's for his dad, and then, you know, the brat from Harry Potter just has to mess things up at the monkey prison.
Yep.
jerk with his chocolate chip cookies.
Now, Abdul, you introduced this last year, so of course I'm setting you up hoping you know what I'm thinking. But you have your films in two categories. And I think you called them the Varsity Squad and the JV Squad.
Yeah. There's your Varsity Squad.
It's not like Gina's list.
Yeah, there's your Varsity Squad, which is, and I don't know if this was early 2011 or late 2010, but I think because it was released in December, it still kind of counts for my 2011. So there's like the King's Speech.
Right.
You know, something like that.
The grown-up movies.
The grown-up movies. And then there's like, you know, Thor, Captain America, you know.
Kick-Ass. Machete.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that movie was awesome.
These are the Chris, that made your worst list. I remember that.
Laugh from the previous year, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, those seems like the films that you can watch several times over drinks and food and fun.
Yeah, and that's why I make sure, you know, in the Abdul DVD collection, you know, the Gravado Expensive Library.
Yeah, this is his version of leather-bound books.
Yeah, just make sure you got all the, you know, but you go out, buy all the Academy Award-nominated films and just put them over there.
And then the beer coolers by the JV.
And then the beer coolers, yeah, the beer coolers by the wine rack, you know. So for every Thor, there's a King's Speech, you know, for every Captain America, there's a Margaret Thatcher, you know.
The Iron Lady.
The Iron Lady, so that's kind of my rule. I mean, my JV films were all superhero movies this
year. All of them? Even Green Lantern?
No, I said they were all superhero films. They were not all superhero films.
Ah, very good.
Yeah. Green Lantern. It's like, just somebody get a yellow baseball bat and beat the hell out of thank all of you for getting that joke. Thank you.
Yes, we don't see sunlight too often, so it's all right. Now, of course, 2011 was also the Kobe Financially Saves Hollywood tour.
That's right.
Yes, because we have a segment in the show called What Is Kobe Watching? We might get to it. I don't know yet. But how many films did you wind up seeing in theaters?
I don't know. Let me think about that, and I'll get back to you.
Great, we'll move on.
But he did see The Artist. That's pretty helpful.
Yes, that was very helpful.
Thank you.
We appreciate that very much. So, all right. Yeah, because my top was The Artist, and it was up until probably a month ago that I saw. What are you doing? You're taking my list. Here, right on that. I'm done with that piece of it.
Are you doodling?
Kobe's taking paper while I'm trying to talk here. but the film that I really championed and really enjoyed was Drive, the best of the Ryan Gosling films, which was kind of a navel-gazing noir crime drama with lots of guns, lots of cars, and lots of bloody violence in very quick spurts.
Yeah, Albert Brooks seems like he's emerged as kind of the front runner for Best Supporting Actor Oscar.
I hope so, because he's really kind of frightening in this, especially when your lackey is Ron Perlman and you're still scarier. That's something to be said about that. But it was, you know, one of the things I talked about this on No Limits a couple weeks ago, is that for every sequel and remake that was peppered throughout the year, there were a lot of films that were kind of homages or nostalgia. I mean, you know, Midnight in Paris and Hugo were obviously nostalgic pictures, but you know, a film like Rango, which was a Valentine to the spaghetti westerns, Drive, which was kind of a Valentine to films like the films of Michael Mann, or The Driver, or even a film like Hobo with a Shotgun, which was this year's Grindhouse feature of the year. I mean,
I think we'll do 2 days ride, get some beans, and head on up around the pass, and go get George W. Bush. I think he's now turning to M, though, and Q, and Men in Black 5, or whatever.
Right, and then Super 8, which was the film that also made my top 10, which is, you know, a throwback to the Spielberg sci-fi films of the late 70s, early 80s. So, yes.
Evil E.T.
Neat artist for silent films.
Absolutely. So like, films that made my top list, The Artist, Drive, The Descendants, Super 8, Rango, Win-Win, Life Above All, which was my top pick for a foreign film of the year. And then a nice double feature is Take Shelter and Marcy May Marlene. That's, by the way, I'm kidding when I say not a great double feature. And there's another tie because it's the same filmmaker and critics like the lump and do pairs. But the Werner Herzog double feature of Cave of Forgotten Dreams and Into the Abyss. Fun double feature right there. All right, across the board, worst film of 2011. And here's I guess the question is, did you see Jack and Jill?
I did not see Jack and Jill, so mine was The Change Up. Because peeing in a fountain was not that funny.
Or exploding diarrhea, apparently.
No, it was not funny at all. It was horrifying.
Chris?
The Smurfs.
Oh, that That's right, you did see that.
I did see the Smurf.
From the director
of Scooby-Doo. Not only did I review the Smurfs in theaters, I actually wrote a video review of it. I got double Smurf action.
Ooh. Ow.
You got Smurfed on that one, too.
Yeah. Abdul, what was the worst film your wife dragged you to?
Well, it was ironic because that buzzing sound, I apologize for the people listening.
Oh, was that her?
Right now, that was actually my wife calling, which I thought was rather...
I'm surprised I didn't get the call either.
Well, she's not on Twitter, so she would know that I was on here right now. No, I mean, I guess anything... And I felt really bad because my wife is... you. At our wedding, the
yes,
lovely,
absolutely
beautiful,
lovely,
exotic,
nobody's perfect
creature, beautiful in the face and the mind, and I love my wife, beautiful woman.
But your first film together was Shudder.
Yes!
I remember that.
Oh gosh. Oh, did it come out this year or last year?
What,
the film where the kid is stuck on the astral plane, and his father has to go get him, and they call in like the psychic medium woman.
Uh oh.
Not knowing what you were talking about.
No, because it's like the boy's like possessed because his spirit is gone and
was
the ghost.
Was this Insidious?
Yes.
Insidious. Oh, yeah, that came out this year.
That crap. That was the worst friggin' film. Like, oh my god. And what really here's what annoyed me the most. I'm sitting here watching when I hear like the Tiny Tim tiptoe through the tulips thing and oh my god. I'd take my lower lip and pull it off my forehead and slide into a giant razor blade into a pool of alcohol. That would be less painful.
You got that too, right? All right, we're already working on 2012.
That was a strong reaction.
Yes. Well, you had a pretty strong reaction.
Sorry about
to the change
that.
Up. No, it's
back
fine.
Back on my
it's
meds
fine.
Now.
For me, my worst pick was Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch, because I like girls in uniforms. I like girls dancing, but not in a bad video game movie that makes 300 seem like Watchmen. Oh wait, same director on all three of those.
Yeah.
Look, if you're gonna make an exploitation film, make it. If you want to make a girl power action movie, make that. But you can't have it both ways with this one. And it was just, when you have all of that element and it's dull, that's really bad. And this is the same year that the third Transformers came out, which was shot in Illinois, even though it says it's in D.C.
D.C., and you see the sign, or Rochelle.
There's two Nicolas Cage films on my list, Season of the Witch and Trespass.
Oh,
and no, it was not a remake of the Ice Cube, Ice-T film. And I did like Drive Angry. Drive Angry is one of the more underrated, ridiculous action films of the year. You watch that with kick-ass. Your Highness, the one
That's
of two
on
bad
list.
Films from David yeah. Gordon Green. Come back to the independent cinemas, please. Beastly. Remember Beauty and the Beast for
yeah.
the Twilight crowd?
Yeah.
Yeah, where all the high schoolers look like they're 30. That was bad. Something Borrowed. Why anybody would have Kate Hudson as a best friend, and she's so... I mean, this was almost How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Shrew Bad. What else? Real Steel. Basically
the giant Sock'em Robot movie?
Well, Rock'em Sock'em Robots combined with Steven Spielberg remaking Over the Top. Nobody needs to remake that movie.
I'm
At least
sorry,
there's no Kenny Loggins.
I'm still pro-fighting robots.
Fine.
Just
want to
put it out there.
So you like,
then,
you like,
then you have Transformers 1.
Did you like Transformers? Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny English Reborn, which was late 60s Jerry Lewis sad, as far as not funny.
Lady!
Yeah. Yeah, that's enough. I've had enough of that. So yeah, I didn't see Jack and Jill either. So there's that. Kobe, you got a list there?
Yeah, I was working on it, and I think I keep remembering a couple, but let's see here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 movies that I know I saw in theaters. There may be more.
Okay, so you helped out. You helped out Hollywood, so we say
yes,
thank you.
Yes, well, you are quite welcome, Hollywood.
Thank you for doing your part.
Good job.
Because yeah. Lord knows Hollywood didn't do theirs.
Yeah.
They did. You just have to keep looking for it.
I got to go to Key Cinemas again.
We've talked about this.
Yes, we have.
You know what doesn't happen too much at Key Cinema? You don't see somebody picking up their cell phone. Yes, yes, I'm in. Yes, the king is with his doctor. They're learning. Oh yes, it's quite messed up. Oh yes, he's doing a soliloquy. I say he's doing a soliloquy.
What are you going to do now? You've dropped the gun.
What art thou going to do now? No, I shall not cease talking.
No, I will say this. Best film and film that made me the most mad and upset of 2011, Waiting for Superman.
At the same time?
Yep. Because I'm a big school choice fan, love school choice, but when I saw like kids and just really bad schools and just bureaucrats and administrators, that was like me watching Malcolm X in 1991. I was just ready to go down to IPS and just beat the hell out of everybody.
That'll show them. That film, unfortunately, kind of became what I called initial it. It's NSN, like no bleep news. Like, no kidding. Actually, yeah, no kidding news. So yeah,
and that's why it made me so mad, because it's just like...
You should know this by now. You shouldn't have to have documentary with the John Legend song telling
right.
you.
And when the little kid puts his dad's picture up and he gets accepted to the charter school, and he puts his dad's picture on the wall, who got shot and killed in the hood, it's like, you know, Baptist minister, Lion Surfer,
please don't quote Nixon.
Yeah. Happy days. Sorry.
No, I think I did. No, that's all right.
Well, we hope 2012 will be a better year.
Yeah, Chris, you have if you go to the film app, you can see Chris's ultra colossal China buffet. No, super heavy 2012 preview. What are you looking forward to in 2012?
The Hobbit, The Hobbit, The Hobbit.
Yes.
I am so down for
Thank
The
you,
Hobbit.
Gina.
They split it in two, and for once,
they
I'm
split
happy.
It in two.
I'm happy they split it movie in two.
All right, it's Peter Jackson.
A lot of other really good stuff to go in there. Of course, the Dark Knight Rises, the third and supposedly last of the Batman movies,
and it's not in Gotham City. Is Pittsburgh too?
Yep. And they're rebooting Spider-Man
with a new
cast, just 5 years after the last one wrapped up. A lot of the good stuff, really good stuff in there. Like I say, go through the list. We got a World War Z, sort of a documentary sort of style look at a zombie apocalypse.
And apparently The Onion said they're going to try to make that into a trilogy now?
It could be. We okay. those Z books. Just a lot of cool stuff, big and small. Here's one coming out September 28th, and I'll just read the description to you and tell me you don't want to immediately go see that movie.
Okay.
Looper, a science fiction movie starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a time-traveling hitman who realizes that his next target is his own future self, played by Bruce Willis.
It's not a remake of the Burt Reynolds stunt movie?
No.
Oh, that's Hooper, right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so this is an action movie about the grocer on Sesame Street?
But
no,
wait a second. If you're a time-traveling hitman...
Uh-oh. Oh,
I'm
no.
Sorry.
We've now hit... I forgot. We hit another sore spot with Mr. Shabazz.
How do his eyes change color?
No. Hold on. Let me set this up. Mr. Shabazz, your issue with
the
Terminator?
My issue with the Terminator is, okay, the whole point of the Terminator is to be built to go back in time and kill Sarah Connor so John Connor would never be born, so he would never lead the revolution against the robots. Okay.
The Judean People's Front.
Exactly. But if you go back in time and you kill Sarah Connor, John Connor's never born... which means you never built the robot to go back and kill Sarah Connor. So, hey, robots, the fact that we're making him shows that he lived. Hi.
This is why you're not allowed at pitch meetings.
Yeah, it's the eternal paradox of time travel. I can't go back and kill myself, because if I did, I would never be born to go back and kill me.
You're also Rob Lowe, and thank you for smoking.
Yes!
How do we get the smoke in space? You're not allowed to do that. okay, so let's see. And I also like the fact that you put all the movies in here. These aren't all good-sounding movies.
I'll tell you this. I've seen
a movie with Madonna.
I have seen the previews for Battleship.
You sank it?
Yeah, I was just sort of like,
Now, and the Avengers is not Uma Thurman in a cat suit, as much as I enjoy looking at that.
And thank God it's also not Ralph Fiennes either, so.
That's right. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, and Daniel Day-Lewis is Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
But he's not a vampire hunter.
You see, but...
Yes.
No, but see, Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln is going to be awesome.
Only if he slaps around people like he did in There Will Be Blood.
Yeah. Freedom.
Yeah, only if he slaps around John Wilkes Booth.
So I guess I sent 35,000 troops down to the south, just like that.
And yeah, I actually want to see Django Unchained. I want to see what Quentin Tarantino does with spaghetti western.
The Great Gatsby, we're remaking that again.
That's got to be better. Well, that's got to be
DiCaprio, right?
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio and Carey Mulligan.
Nice.
Okay.
So you loved him in, you know, J. Edgar, one of my favorite films of this year.
That was?
Yes.
Okay.
I like that one too.
Because you know me in that period
era.
Of history. I always liked that stuff. And
yes.
It was interesting because I took my wife to it, and when they had the footage of Martin Luther King cheating on his wife, she was like, that didn't happen. I was like, kind of.
Yeah,
yes, kind of
did. They kind of glaze over some of the.
Yeah.
You know, Gandhi, not the best husband either.
Nope. He's got files. Get over his office right now.
And, Wrath of the Titans. Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nevermore. Oh, no, that's Raven. That's another one. Okay.
Nevermore.
Well, after The Hobbit, I am most looking forward to Hunger Games.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing.
And not one, but two Snow White adaptations.
Hopefully they're not released a month from each other.
And Dark Shadows.
Yeah, that's a possibility, too.
So let me ask you, what do you think about MIB3?
Who asked for that besides Mr. Jones and Mr. Smith?
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. All right, here's
I'm hesitant.
I think we have some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz
has spoken.
All right, everybody, not at once. Plug your websites. Go.
Gina Wagner, hauntedflowerreviews.com.
IndiePolitics.org.
TheFilmYap.com.
WFYI.org. Kobe, you have no website.
I don't.
You're here.
You've got the Tumblr blog.
Yeah.
You've got Xtube.com.
Xtube, baby. All right, thanks for hanging out with me, gang. Thank you for coming in, and here's to a really good 2012. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point at WFYI.org.